Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Yeah. That's why I'm easy.
I'm easy like Sunday morning. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live from one of the great schnooks in the area. We're at the Schnooks in O'Fallon. Chuck, how about these ribs? These are unbelievable.
I'm sitting here. I have an appointment today, two appointments, but I'm staying here for the ribs and the rib tips. The brats are just unbelievable. Of course, Walt Disney here, Mr. Healthy, is not eating anything just yet.
Walt Disney.
But he will be. Walt was very healthy.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? I did not know.
Yeah, he was a very healthy guy. One of my idols.
All right, really? Come on by and say hello. Frank Gabriel is the general manager out here of Fried Chicken. They make omelets for you.
Wow.
They have a Caldi's place, a little coffee station, so they have it all. H. Balzer joins us now. H., welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, doing great. Where are you guys again?
Schnooks in O'Fallon.
Howard, too far for you to get here. I know you heard about the ribs, but it's not close to where you're at, so don't be jumping in the car.
He can eat more than Frank Cusimano.
Oh, my
Howard
God.
Balzer.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Whenever we have him out for a snook store on Thursday night, you better have food.
He's
for
like a human vacuum cleaner, man.
But there is a skinny H, right? He lost all that weight.
Yeah, but he's
no, that's true. And that doesn't mean that every now and then you can't, go a little hog wild, as they say. As long as I keep hitting that exercise bike, even that's the big key.
Hey, Howard, don't forget to tell him about our rendezvous. It's with Skip Weber last week.
Frank and Andy, you would have loved it. I mean, Skip has his annual July 4th party at his house in Columbia, Illinois.
And I've been to one of those.
Yeah, have you? Again, they got the pool and everything, but the big attraction, of course, is he brings in someone to do karaoke. And so we Skip and I cajoled Charlie into going up there with us. It was Skip and I, and we did a little Temptations of My Girl. And, Charlie just he just nailed it. And then we, Skip and I came in on the choruses. And, man, everybody was gathered around. They were loving it. It was a lot of fun.
Tell them the women came around, didn't they, Howard?
Anything that involves karaoke and Howard Balzer is maybe the most scariest scene you could possibly drum up. I mean, Howard, come on now. Karaoke and you – I thought you retired from karaoke. I didn't know you still had it in you. You were still doing this.
Never retire from karaoke. Are you kidding me? That was just a group song. I did several songs that evening, and so it was quite the night. It's always a lot of fun at Skip's. J.C. Corcoran was there, and some others, and a lot of his friends and family, and all that. It's great party.
Mm. All right, H. What's going on with the XFL in St. Louis tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow out at I don't even want to say the word Rams at the former Rams Park, which is now Lou Fews Athletic. They're having what the XFL has called, they've had a summer-long summer showcases at each team. And all the other seven teams have already had them, where they bring in 100-plus players and do a tryout kind of combine-like drills and all that. And there's some decent names on there, some guys who have played in the NFL, guys who played in the Alliance that are not on teams, of course, right now. And from this group of 800-plus players, they will – the league will start signing players to start filling out those rosters, but they'll sign them to league contracts. And then in October, the plan is to have a draft of where the teams will select the players, obviously, that they want. And so tomorrow at Lou Fews Athletic, they're having the showcase, and the commissioner, Oliver Luck, will be there, a lot of people from the league and different head coaches and all that. So it's going to be a fun day seeing actual football, whatever the level, out on those good old fields out in our city.
All right, so what kind of level are we talking about? Who's being attracted to these tryouts? What kind of players are they looking for? What level of football have they played before?
Well, some of them have played in the NFL. Some have been in NFL camps. Like I mentioned, some have played in the season this last spring with the Alliance. In fact, Trent Richardson, the former number one pick, who played in the Alliance with Birmingham, he will be there. Connor Cook, former NFL quarterback, he will be there.
Michigan State?
Yeah, Michigan State, exactly. exactly. And he's been with the Browns, I believe, and the Raiders, and has bounced around for a few years. And you know, that's a big key for a league like this. It was a key for the Alliance to get some quarterbacks that get some time on the field, and that they don't get a lot of if they're in an NFL camp. And several of the guys that were in the Alliance this past spring are in NFL camps this year. Logan Woodside, who was a quarterback for San Antonio, he's with the team. John Wolford, who was with Arizona in the Alliance, he's going to camp with an NFL team. So it's a great opportunity for guys to at least get some more experience. And you know what? Even if they don't get on with the NFL, they have the ability to play football. And most of these guys will be making anywhere from $800 to $100,000 a year. So it'll be decent salaries for these players that will play in this league.
How would you know this league needs a Johnny Manziel-type player in order to succeed, to get guys that didn't make it in the NFL but still have somewhat of a name?
No, there's no question. And when the Alliance signed Johnny Manziel near the end of last season, the reaction was tremendous. In fact, he was with the Memphis team, and you know they were drawing about 14, 15,000 a game. And for the last game or two that he was there, they sold an extra 10,000 tickets, and that was a team that wasn't winning. And so you're right. He is a magnet. Whether he can play well or not is another story. But he is a name, and there definitely, I know that there has been discussion about Manziel playing in the XFL, which of course will begin its games next February. And the Lou Fews facility, by the way, guys, will be the home for that team. They'll have practices there. Their offices will be there. And of course, the season starts in February, so a lot of the practices obviously will be in the indoor facility. So that will be their home for the XFL team, which we, by the way, we should find out their name within the next couple of weeks. By the end of July, the league is scheduled. We're supposed to announce all the nicknames for all 8 teams.
Attendance-wise, I don't know what they view as success, but will they, like, shut down part of the dome to not make it look so empty? And what do you think is realistic attendance-wise?
It's a really good question. I don't know if they'll actually shut down the dome, but I know, like, in San Antonio, they were playing in the Alamo Dome there, and most of the fans were in the lower bowl. And so, but they were averaging between 25 and 30,000 fans. That was the team that did the best in the Alliance for that 8-game season that they ended up having before they suspended operations. So I am sure that's what the XFL would like to see in a lot of these markets, if they can, you know, sell a lot of lower bowl tickets in the stadiums they're playing in. You know, some are bigger stadiums. For example, the New York team is going to play in MetLife Stadium. But then there's a team in L.A. that's going to be playing in the soccer stadium. So, you know, that's really a perfect venue for it to get 20, if you can get 25, 30,000 in there and have it really look good. But I'm sure that's what they're hoping for. Whether you can get that in year one, that's a question. Because the interesting thing about this league, guys, is that St. Louis is the only city in the 18 league that does not have an NFL team. The Alliance, with its 8 teams, only had 2 cities, Phoenix and Atlanta, that had NFL teams. But the XFL, all the other 7 teams have NFL teams. So that's going to be, I think, an interesting challenge to see how many people after an NFL season will then go to this football that begins in February in those other 7 cities. But they know obviously there's football fans there. If they can just get a good percentage of them, that's a positive. And certainly TV ratings were pretty good for the Alliance, and so I think the XFL will be able to capitalize that on a little bit when they're going, you know, they're going to be on Fox and ESPN with 4 games every weekend, and so I'm sure that they can, you know, they can go to advertisers and say, well, here's what the ratings were for the Alliance. There's no reason why this shouldn't be as good or better.
You know, that's what I was going to ask you in terms of, you know, will these games be broadcasted? Will they be broadcasted on a local level? And how will they be marketed? And in terms of the local team here, who's financing this? I mean, who's writing the checks behind it?
Vince McMahon is writing all the checks for everything. It's a league-owned, basically a league-owned league, if that's a little redundant there. But that's the way they're doing it. And so there's no local ownership. And so Vince McMahon is funding it entirely. And, of course, he funded the first iteration of the XFL back in the early 2000s. And one of his big reasons for wanting to get this going again and try it is because he saw that as more entertainment. There wasn't as much concentration on the football aspect of it. I remember they had Jesse Ventura during color on the games. They were on NBC on Saturday nights, but they only had one game on national TV. But they saw it as entertainment. He knows that was a mistake. They've done a lot more differently this year in really emphasizing the football aspect of it. And so he's, like I said, he's bankrolling it. He wants to show that he can do it. I think now he's even more emboldened by the fact that the Alliance went away and all those who say that a league of this level can't make it. He's committed to it. In fact, a few months ago, he sold about $272 million of stock in WWE, which he still, of course, runs. But he sold his stock to be able to, especially to be able to tell people, hey, we're not flash in the pan. We're not relying on other people's money, which the Alliance was. And he wants to show and say that, hey, we're going to be around. Now, how long? Who knows? You know, no one can predict how long. But he definitely wants to do that commitment for a good, you know, 2 to 5 years to hopefully build this and have it be, you know, a staple of that time of the year in the football that it is, and supplies opportunity for players. There, I mentioned the quarterbacks, guys. There's about 50 to 60 players that were in the Alliance that will be in NFL training camp starting in a couple of weeks. We'll see how many actually make a roster, but that's an opportunity for these guys and an opportunity for coaches, young coaches, to see if this is what they want to get into. Jonathan Hayes, the head coach of the St. Louis team, one of his assistants, he's hired Oz Hakim as receivers coach. And Oz was with Mike Martz with the San Diego team in the Alliance. And so it's a great opportunity for those players and coaches to get experience and see if they can take that next step to the NFL.
Howard, is this league not big enough for my guy Colin Kaepernick?
Probably not. I would think that he might not want to play for $100,000. And they said they're going to pay quarterbacks a little bit more than the going rate for most of the players. But still, even for that, they're talking about maybe $300,000 tops. I don't know that that's what he would want to do. On the other hand, you never know. But it probably isn't where he would want to play. But man, I think that would be a heck of a thing for the league. But I think he's probably got some bigger fish to fry now with all the different things that he's participating in on the social justice platform.
Okay, so you mentioned Oz Hakim. Any other St. Louis angle, Mizzou angle, anybody that would actually make St. Louisans go buy a ticket?
Well, we don't know as yet. I mean, they haven't signed any names yet. You know, the coaches are mostly guys that Jonathan Hayes knew from before. I will mention this, though. If everyone remembers the Otis and Theotis show on KMOX back in the day with Theotis Brown and Otis Anderson with the football Cardinals, well, Theotis is going to be the St. Louis team's director of player personnel. Obviously, he's not going to be on the field playing, but there is that St. Louis connection there, and I'm sure when it comes down to players, that I would think that there would be some guys that would have that St. Louis or Mizzou connection to it. But you know, we'll just have to wait and see. At the end of the day, it's going to be playing good football, competitive football, that's going to bring the fans out.
Hey, Theotis. Hi, Otis. How you doing today, Otis? I remember.
Theotis and Otis show. Boy, we're really dating ourselves. Remember that one.
Jack Buck one day said, that's the top foreign talk show on radio.
Dating yourself. Come on, Frank. It's only 40 years ago.
Gosh, that's unbelievable. H, good stuff.
Howard, thanks for the long answers. I was able to get my grocery shopping in while you were still talking. I came back and you were
almost,
still talking.
You almost beat Andy's record.
Andy's one to talk about that, isn't he?
That's right. H will talk. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. H. Balzer. Boy, Theotis Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Going to be director of player personnel.
Yeah.
Are you even old enough to remember him?
Theotis Brown?
Yeah. He was with O.J. Anderson. They came in together.
I remember O.J. Anderson for sure.
He and Roy Green, the three of them were in the same draft class.
Roy Green was unbelievable.
Not in that draft, but like shortly, I think maybe right before it. Mm-hmm. I read an article yesterday, by the way,
Roy Green.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable athlete, period. Yeah. But on Conrad Dobler and the mind, you know, we had him on, I guess, maybe a year ago, but he doesn't remember, like, his kids' names.
Oh,
and
terrible.
He has trouble walking. And I'm telling you, I remember asking him point blank, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now about your physical condition, would you do it? And they all say yes.
All of them do.
You know, because the high of what they had and being professional football players. But
in the future, though, parents that have high income levels are not going to let their kids play pro football anymore.
No question.
They're not going to let them do it.
Yeah, I don't think
the lower income people will.
I don't think it's just about income, though, Charlie. I mean, because let's not make the assumption that if you don't make a lot of money, that you don't care as much about the health of your kids.
Yeah, but this is the only way out for
some
kids.
But I understand the meal ticket aspect of it. But I just think I don't care, rich or poor. I think people look at it from a safety standpoint, and they question whether or not football is a.
They look at it, but for some people that are poor or middle income. This is a ticket for some athletes to make a lot of money. It's through sports and pro football, and some people will continue to do that.
Yeah. All right. Boys, we appreciate you coming by.
In other
Always
words,
good
get
to
the
be
heck
here.
Out of here. Right?
No,
you
got
extra
time.
Nice way of saying
it's time to go anyway.
We're going to be joined by Layla when we come back.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. We've got Hockey Sense coming up later on
what
today.
What do you have
that? As well, Braden Shen will join me.
Oh, nice.
Who just had a day with the Cup. We may have Colton Pareko as well. We got a couple other
Do you know where Shen's day
well,
was?
We got Layla, so.
Good.
You have you to got Colton. Who cares?
You have to ask about the letter that she got from the mayor of Boston that we had on Twitter. And it went viral. It was crazy. But very class act by the mayor of Boston, I will say. It was very cool to see that.
And where was Pareko's? Where was Shen's day with the Cup?
Saskatoon.
Oh, nice.
Fine. Saskatoon. So they were
almost the home of the Blues.
Almost the home of the Blues. They were honored at a Rough Riders CFL game. He and Tyler Bozak and Jaden Schwartz. He took it to his dad's firehouse. He's been a fireman there for a long time.
Great.
Had a private party with friends and family as well. It was very cool to see. So we'll have Hockey Sense later on this afternoon at 4:00.
I can't
live
wait
from
for that.
Nighthorse. Can't wait for it as well.
All right, we'll take a short time out. Maryville sponsors our phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that great campus in Town and Country. We'll be right back.